You are now listening to Computers Bite Back, brought to you by Grebog and Malcor.
This is Grebog.
And this is Malcor.
And this time we're talking about computer cases. We've talked about computer cases a little here and there in previous podcast episodes, but this time we're going to go into a lot more detail and kind of go over what you should be looking for when you're looking at buying a case.
Now, there's several different things you can get into when you're buying a case. Some of the stuff is just your basic features that you'll need regardless of what kind of case you're looking at, and some of them are more important if you're looking to really trick out your computer.
Also, Newegg has a very good article on computer cases, and we'll post up that link so that way you can read it. We'll probably cover a lot of the stuff they have there already, but it's probably worth the read, especially if you're going to be buying a computer case here soon.
So one of the first things you got to look at when you're going to buy a computer case is the type of case. And basically there's about two different kinds. You can find a desktop, which is meant to lie horizontal on the surface of the desk, or a tower, which is meant to sit vertically, normally next to the desk or something like that. There are a few cases that are designed to be used either or, but mostly that's going to depend on where you plan on putting the computer and how much space you have available.
And for each of those, they actually have several sizes. Typically, they'll be labeled as full, mid, and mini. Now, a full, a lot of times you'll see that mostly in the towers. And a full tower, if you've ever seen one, they are just massive. They're probably, I would say, 2 feet tall, maybe a little more. And they have, normally they'll have room for two or three power supplies and a lot more drive bays. Typically, they're all geared for people that want a server or like a home server or something else if you want to just have lots and lots of hard drives inside your case.
Next step down is the mid-size case. And this is what most people have just as your typical standard case. It'll have room for a few drives in it and some expansion slots, but it's nothing. It's not huge, but it's also not really small and cramped.
And the smallest one's called Mini, and I've also heard them referred to as a form factor machine. And this is because typically you need to make sure you get the motherboard that fits inside there. You normally can't get one of the larger motherboards. So you might have to get a form factor motherboard, is what a lot of times I hear them called, which is a smaller motherboard. And yeah, it's just basically the size. These normally are made to sit on your desk, whether it be underneath your monitor or just standing up on the side. And they're really small. They're almost smaller than some laptops, especially if you're getting a desktop replacement type laptop.
Now, in addition to the form factor, you also have to pay attention to what type of motherboard it's compatible with. Most of them will have labeled on there, for example, they'll say they're compatible with an ATX motherboard or that sort of thing. We went into a lot more detail on the motherboard form factors in the motherboard podcast, so if you want to get into the details on that, just download that one and take a quick listen.
One of the big things you'll want to look at when buying a computer case is how many drive bays they're going to have. And you probably already have an idea on how many hard drives you're going to want, how many Blu-ray player, DVD players, or burners that you want to put in, and if you want a floppy drive, because then this will give you an idea on how many bays you're going to need. And they will have normally listed at how many they have for the 5 1/4 external bays, 3 1/2 external bays, and then the 3 1/2 internal.
Now, in addition to the drive bays, there's also the expansion slots. This is something else you want to match up with your motherboard. If you have more slots on your motherboard than you have room for in the case, then you'll have wasted slots on the motherboard and vice versa. So while there's nothing wrong with having more expansion slots on your case than your motherboard, and it does give you room to expand later if you buy a bigger motherboard, you're wasting space for the time being.
I actually had a case that had more room, and what I did with that one of the extra slots is I actually bought one of those. It mounts into one of the card slots. It doesn't connect to the motherboard. It just uses one of the slots that you would use for a graphics card, sound card, whatever. But it uses one of those bays on the back. And I could not, you know, it uses one of the power cords on the inside. And it was just a fan to help cool the machine. I mean, so if you do have extra slots, you could think of doing something like that to add cooling.
Nice.
Also, for the back plane, a lot of times they have, most of the cases when you're going to buy one, will have a, above your expansion slots, will have your, like, you know, basic connections, your graphics, your sound, your USB, all this and that. Most times when you buy the motherboard, they'll come with a little panel, and on the case, it has to be able to pop out, and you can pop in this new panel. I haven't seen many cases that don't come with something like this, or motherboards. Most times anymore, you'll find that. But if you're not sure, you could always look. There's lots of pictures on the various sites, and you probably could go to the manufacturer's site and find out more if they have either, for the case, the pop-out spot, or the motherboard comes with that panel.
Now, another typical thing you'll see with cases is a lot of them will come with a built-in power supply. Now, depending on what kind of case you're buying, if you're not buying a high-end case, odds are pretty good it's not going to have the best power supply available. But there again, it's one of those things where you can get what you pay for. If you get one of the really high-end cases, it's probably going to have a decent power supply with it. So just be careful when you're looking at it. If you're buying one with a built-in power supply, make sure it'll provide enough power for the for all the devices you're installing and all the expansion cards. And if you need more information on that, check out our Power Supply podcast.
And when we didn't really talk about mounting the power supply into the cases in our Power Supply podcast, but I haven't found any cases that can't handle, as long as it's like the correct form factor power supply and case, like an ATX or BTX, as long as that matches, the screw holes that mount the power supply will match. I haven't found any that's not true. So as long as you're buying a standard case, you know, that matches with, you know, the same form factor with the power supply, you shouldn't have any problems mounting that new power supply if it doesn't have the power supply pre-mounted. Now for cooling system, you're going to want to look actually at the whole case for how it cools. And a lot of cases are coming with a decent number of fans now, and you might have to pay more for a case that has more fans, but that's because typically they went more thought out on how they want the airflow to go through the case. So, and even if it doesn't have the fans installed, I would try to make sure it has enough ventilation holes that you can mount fans to. I know several cases, or well, a decent number of cases, even though they don't have the fans pre-mounted for you, they do have the places for you to mount the fans to it. So that way, you can go and buy your fans and install them later if you want more airflow. And as normal, the more ventilated you have, like in better airflow you have through your case, the cooler it's going to keep the internal components and the better performance. Now, some of the built-in fans aren't going to be the greatest quality, but that kind of goes with how the higher price the case typically will have the better fans and the more quiet, you know, the more silent fans. The cheaper cases, you're going to get a cheap fan, you're going to get a cheap power supply, you know, along with those lines, you get what you pay for, possibly. And if you're going to go into liquid cooling, you're going to want to make sure that the back fan underneath, some cases have the power supply mounted on the bottom, sometimes they have them mounted on the top, but typically the fan, there's normally a ventilation section on the back that has a fan on it, and that panel can come off. If you're going to go into water cooling, you're going to want that panel to come off. And so that way you can route hoses out and mount your radiators and stuff. So that way you can cool your processor.
Now, something else to keep an eye on when you're buying a case is what kind of material it's made out of. Now, your typical case is going to be built out of steel, maybe have some plastic in it, like the acrylic for the windows. But there are alternatives. They do have lighter cases that are made out of aluminum or aluminum alloys. There's a couple benefits to this. One is, obviously, they weigh less, but also they provide better heat dissipation. Now, the downside is the special materials tend to cost a lot more. So you generally only see these in your higher-end cases.
I think this kind of goes along with the case material. It's not exactly, but when you look at some cases, you can kind of get an idea on how well thought out the people that manufactured your case by how well they designed some of the features. And I'm talking things like they rolled the metal so that way you're not going to cut your fingers trying to reach into your case and install stuff. I know I've had cases in the past, like some of my first ones, they didn't do stuff like that, and I would nick and cut my fingers just trying to put in a hard drive. But then later, once I found out about the rolled corners, it made it real nice.
One other thing you might want to keep in mind when you're looking at a case is the built-in connections that the case has. A lot of them will have built-in USB ports, some audio ports, or other various connections that are standard on most motherboards. Now, this doesn't really affect the performance of the machine all that much, but it can really make your life easier if you have a lot of USB devices and you have one that has USB connections that are handy. If you buy an older case that only has the USB ports on the back, you may get so frustrated having to get back behind it to put things in and out that you'll go out and buy a separate USB hub or something along those lines.
I know a lot of cases nowadays will have typically at least two on the front for USB ports and other things like that, and you have a few on the back. But I do agree, the more that you can get, I like having more on the front than, I like 4 to 6 on the back, because that gives me a decent number for my standard peripherals that are always connected. Then I like to have about 4 on the front, so that way I can plug things in, different things at different times, and I can not have to reach behind my case every time I want to sync one of my devices.
Now, another factor in picking out a case is noise reduction. Now, for the most part, this is a function of the number and types of fans. Obviously, the more fans you have, the louder it's going to be. But also, larger fans can be run at slower speeds for the same amount of airflow, which means a larger fan can produce less noise than a smaller fan. Now, the fans aren't the only thing here. We are starting to see some cases come out that actually have noise reduction materials inside them, similar to what you'd see inside like a sound chamber or something in a laboratory. But something to bear in mind with those is they can also affect your airflow, so keep that in mind as well.
One of the cases that actually has tripped my, well, once I saw it in a magazine, it kind of made me go, ooh, I want this case next. Now, it's a little pricey, at least for me, to just go out and buy. But it is a very nice case. They did a lot in the design, and it's not your conventional case setup. And yes, it's an ATX case. It meets all the specifications for that, but they move some things around just to make it a little cooler. What I mean by that is, normally, if you think about your computer case, this is a mid-tower. It doesn't have the backplane of your motherboard where you have all your expansion slots and your USB connections on the what we consider the back of the case. It actually has that on the top of the case. And the reason they did it that way is on the bottom of the case, there's a little riser in between the floor. It basically looks like it's about 1 inch to 2 inches that's lifted the case up off the floor, and then they have three fans, big fans, on the bottom to suck air in, and then they use the heat rising and blow the hot air up and out the top of the case. And to me, this is a very cool idea. I think it probably would work pretty well on keeping your computer case, well, your computer components cool. And then also all your connections, instead of being back behind your computer, are right on top where you can get to them easily.
Now, of course, some of the other bells and whistles you can find on a case are what a lot of people think of first when they start looking at cases, and that's, you know, the little decorative touches. You can get them in designer colors, you can get fancy lights and all sorts of stuff, but there's quite a bit of variation out there.
I've seen some pretty innovative case designs, and some people have built their own cases from completely scratch, or they've taken something that used to, it'd be roughly the size of a computer case, and then turned it into a computer case. And what this gives you is a personal touch to your case and your computer. Someone actually took an old, I think it was a Nintendo 64, pulled everything out of it, and redid everything so it was their computer case. Now, I'm sure it wasn't easy to do, but this person, I saw the finished product, it looked pretty cool. I think one thing I have to say about putting the lights into your computer case is the fact that lights add heat into there. Yeah, it makes it really cool, it makes it look pretty, and, you know, well, maybe not pretty. I guess if you're not going for pretty, it can make your case look cool and everything. But then you have another heat generating device inside your case. So you might want to make sure to have enough fans and airflow through your case that the added heat generation is being compensated for.
Now, along those lines, you'll see a lot of cases that'll have the cutouts with the acrylic window in it. It's probably not a huge factor, but something to keep in mind with those is acrylic does not dissipate heat nearly as well as steel or aluminum. So once again, that can affect your airflow and the heat dissipation of your case. Now, I have seen a couple where they actually mounted the window so it was raised up off the metal so you could get airflow in around the edges, and that would improve your airflow and help with cooling. So just lots of different things to keep in mind here.
And if you feel that your case, it doesn't have enough airflow and you're not too scared to do what I'm going to suggest, and I don't recommend for everyone, you can make your own cutout. And what I'm talking about is you can either on the side of your case, pull off the one panel, take it to a workbench and drill a bunch of holes in it to add more ventilation, or you can even drill, get a fan mount, mark it, you know, drill, mount on an extra fan. Like I said, I don't recommend this for everyone, but if you really want to add some cooling to your case, sometimes you just have to take it into your own hands and do it yourself. Yes, I know, that's a dangerous thing to do, is just cut up your case, go for it!
Now, something else you'll see on cases are the fancy decals and, you know, nice airbrushed paint on them and stuff. Just bear in mind, while all the stuff looks good, every single thing you put on there is going to affect how well the heat dissipates off of your case and how cool your machine runs. The more stuff you have pasted onto the side, the more stuff the heat has to go through before it can dissipate.
I actually heard of someone that decided they worked in a body shop and they decided to paint their case themselves. They took all their stuff out, took the different panels off and painted their case really cool, looked really nice. But when they put it back together, apparently they had enough paint on there, it shifted some of the panels, and one of the fans that had a really minor vibration made a couple of the panels start vibrating. And so sometimes a minor change like that could affect more than you realize. So just something to think about. Not saying not to do it. He did have a pretty cool case, but he had to figure out a way to wedged the panel a little better on there so that way they weren't vibrating. Something also to think about, and we didn't mention it with the cooling section, and this is something really good to think about, is maybe it may not come with it, but you if they do, they advertise this and they put it pretty obvious. And essentially, it's what a lot of them say, they will have a filter. And sometimes it's just a little foam, or I guess it's kind of foamy. It's a little foam material air can flow through. It's just basically a filter, if you know what a filter is. And they put that on the front of the case and, well, on the fans that are sucking the air in. And that way, when it's sucking air in, it's the filter's catching the dust and other things. If your case does not have that, one thing you can do to help modify this a little bit, you could find a girlfriend or wife or your mom, maybe, if that's what you have to go, get some pantyhose. Or you could just buy some pantyhose, I'm sure. Or get a friend to buy a pantyhose for you. Cut it up and mount it in front of the fans, and that will act as a screen to stop the dust from getting into your case. It'll drastically reduce how much dust gets inside your case without cutting down the airflow. And just by cutting down the dust inside your case will keep your components cooler.
Which, along those lines, it's always a good idea to clean out the dust every now and then, too.
We would give you a time frame on how often to clean out your case, but it really varies on the environment your computer case is sitting in. Honestly, like, I was in one room in one of the previous places I lived, and it was one of the dustiest rooms I've ever lived in. I cannot explain it better than that. And I think it had to do with the fact that the window to that room did not seal properly, so cold air, hot air kept coming in, which rotten dust and other stuff. And here, my current place, I don't have the dust issue that I had there. And I know I've just gotten here, but even still, in the previous location, same amount of time, I would have had to have dusted off things by now. For next time, we'll go with, do you think you're going to have time to possibly piece together two different types of machines?
You mean on Newegg?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can probably do that.
Because I was thinking going for your epic gaming machine, and then we'll go for a budget machine. Let's put the requirement for the budget machine being able to try to make sure it meets the requirements to play World of Warcraft, just so that way we know it can do something and handle stuff, you know. Low-wind gaming machine. Not saying World of Warcraft machine gaming machine would be low-wind, but, you know, it can play games. That should cover it. And then for the epic gaming machine, just go with whatever you can get inside the case. Do try to think about the size constraints of having multiple graphics cards, because some of them will take up two slots, which might reduce the number of cards you can get in.
Fair enough.
And anything else we want to throw and add into this details?
Not that I can think.
And with us being able to do these two machines, it'll help give an idea on, we can go over the purchasing, like what you would need to look at when setting up and purchasing a machine. Like, we can go through our process, like you can go through your process and what you looked at, what made you decide on those components, and then I'll go through why I picked what I did. And I'll put up the actual machines up on the site for us to share with everyone that wants to see. So I'll need your list somehow. Well, just put it in one of the documents.
Okay.
And here, do we want to keep it hidden from each other until we do a big reveal when we record again?
Sure, why not?
Make things interesting. Let's go ahead and throw monitors in, but we'll price them separately. So that way, because a lot of times people will be buying a lot of times people already are using their current monitor, but if they wanted to buy monitors, you know, we could show them, you know, how much that would add to the price.
Sounds good.
You can contact us by sending us an email at question@computersbyteback.com, and that's BYTE for byte. We also have a webpage, which is www.computersbyteback.com.
We also have a Facebook page.
I will normally put up some updates onto the Facebook page, so that way you can kind of keep in touch or with what's going on. Feel free to contact us. We value your input and feedback. I know there's been some that have already sent us some feedback, and we appreciate that, and we would like to hear more from you. And this is Grebog.
This is Malcor.
Thank you for listening.